We have two marvelous texts that were given to us this morning, and quite honestly, I had a hard time deciding which one to take, and then I decided to go with Matthew. So that's where we're going to spend a few minutes, and before we do that, let's bow our heads in prayer. Your generosity waters the world with goodness, O God, and you cover creation with your abundance. Impress us this morning more with your gifts than with our need, and help us in all our doings to lean on your extravagant, effusive love. Amen. Our text begins with a transitional line. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew to a desolate place. There is a juxtaposition and contrast that couldn't be more ironic. On the one hand, Matthew invites us to focus on the lifestyles of the rich and shameless. What was going on? John the Baptist, you remember that story, huh? He was beheaded, his head brought in to that celebration. And in the next breath, Matthew has us think about this desolate place, portraying the hungry crowds looking for relief. It's like switching from the Kardashians to a news report on immigrant children stranded at the border. Matthew is indicating, and by these contrasting scenes, just what God is up to. In the first century, you see, gods were supposed to take care on the side of the rich and the powerful. Now in Mark, the apostles are gathered all around him. And by the way, I should mention that this particular miracle event is one of the few that is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest for a while. What a compassionate plan. I can understand it. John's death was violent. They needed to get away. Every person sometimes gets tired. Every church gets tired. There are times when we just simply get exhausted. And I suppose that's exactly why, in an ironic way, Jan and I are here with you this morning, huh? Pastor John, suffering in Iceland, Jill in Denmark, both with their own families. Be nice to be with them, quite honestly. Well, it was intended to be a time of disengagement, a time to reflect, a time to center. But soon we discover in our gospel this morning that even well-intended plans of Jesus don't work out. When the crowds heard it, they followed on foot, and when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. Why is it? Why is it that at times of our greatest fatigue, we are called upon for service? I imagine we've all been there. Isn't it true that when you feel like you don't have much more to give, something else kind of pops up? And so they say, this is a desolate place. The hour is not late, now late, and send the crowds away so that they might go and buy food. Now, what's that all about? Are they compassionately addressing the situation, concerned about empty stomachs? Or is it some way for them to escape taking care of a need? And I can also think of what Jesus must have wanted to say. Thank you. I didn't know this was a desolate place, and I surely didn't know what time it was. And I must not have been aware that you were too tired to take care of yourself. Well, that's not the sarcastic voice that we hear, is it? But surprise, surprise, we're going to take care of this, folks. And you know who's going to do it? You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Now get your head around that. Didn't he see the little bag of food we brought over? Doesn't he know we don't have the resources? What happened to all those plans we had to get some rest here? It'll take, in another gospel, 200 denarii, a year's salary, to buy food. This is illogical, irrational. It doesn't make sense. Would God ask us to do something like that? Now, I can imagine sitting there in their little meeting, overhearing the conversation. We don't have enough. It's not going to work. We've all been in those meetings like this, haven't we? Technically, maybe we can get by with 10%. Half a loaf, cut the fish up in 5 pieces. Somebody else might have said, let's just hide it, and when the crowd leaves, we'll eat. I bet it was an interesting meeting. Anyway, they decide to take all they had brought to Jesus, fatigued, distressed, stressed, confused as it was. And Jesus looks up to heaven, looks away from them, blesses and breaks the loaves. He looks beyond the deserted place, beyond the late hour, beyond the meager resources, and looks somewhere else. He looks to heaven. And in Jan's sermon last Sunday, we heard that the kingdom of heaven for Matthew deals with God's movement. You see, it's dealing with the DNA of what it is to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so for starters, my friends at Richmond Beach, Jesus turns to me this morning and to you and says, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Now, there are 3 miracles. The feeding of the 5,000, I'm not going to even go there, but there's 2 others that I want to spend a little time with. The first one I've already mentioned, the compassion that Jesus had when he saw the crowds and the ability not to give in to this little thought, this is a desolate place. No place is that desolate for Jesus. But the second miracle is you feed them. You feed them. Because with Jesus, something happens when you move from a worldview of scarcity. We have nothing here but 5 loaves to 1 of abundance. Thank you, God, for these loaves and for these fishes. Scarcity in the face of need is contrasted with a gracious, extravagant abundance that's offered here in this gospel at the hands of Jesus. All ate, and they were filled. Period. And it doesn't end with the period. There's an abundance. 12 baskets were even there as surplus. I got in my car. I drove to their home. This is a 30-year-old story, so Jan, she worries when I start telling stories, but it's not going to go on forever. So, okay, here we go. Pastor, we decided to adopt the foster child we've been keeping. Now, this is a family who already had 5 children, okay, and they had already adopted 2 foster children. The parents have given him up for adoption, and we think we ought to do it. And as a cautious pastor, I asked probably not the best question in the world, but do you really think that's wise? You already have 5 young people. You've adopted 2 already, 2 foster kids. You are great parents, but don't you think there are limits? Well, it didn't work. They adopted the foster child, 6 kids in that family. Now, I thought about that when I was preparing this sermon and thinking about that family. That was 30 years ago, so that little boy was about 6. Now he's 36. Probably a family of his own. And there are 5 other families, probably, not for certain, out there that have been raised in that loving family. How great a kind of multiplication of the loaves and fishes is that? I was executive director of Habitat for Humanity in Sioux Falls, South Dakota from 1995 to 2000. And I have more stories. Don't worry. I'm not going to share them now. Maybe I will someday. But I have more stories than you can hardly imagine about the multiplication of what we would go into a project thinking, how are we going to build this house? And yet, from a little, something great happened. Now, one of the current popular movies is Dunkirk. I haven't seen it, but I want to see it. It's a story, too, of how great things can happen with so little. The English troops are caught between the Nazis and the water in France. And the first day, there's 180,000 of them. The first day, the Navy only brought back a little over 4,000. But then 400 little boats... boats ferried back and forth and saved all 180,000 of those troops. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it probably isn't. This is probably an urban legend in that whole story, but one person paddling the canoe, they ask, what are you going to do? And he says, well, I'm going to bring back one. Huh? Extravagant generosity. That's what this text is about this morning. And it reminds me of all those other stories Jesus tells. The farmer who plants the seed wherever it goes. Or in John 2, the wine that's created at that wedding. Or the father of that wayward son who just didn't welcome the son back but threw a great party. Or the Good Samaritan who said, here's everything, all my credit cards, my checkbook, everything, I'll be back in a week, and if that's not enough, I'll give you more. I know people who have faced crisis upon crisis and still get back up and ask for more. They suggest to me that courage and that determination, and maybe even something like love, may be a renewable resource. And so Jesus goes to a hillside to teach, and he sees a crowd, and he has compassion on those who hunger. There is hunger. Night is falling. What do we do? Send them back. They can buy it by themselves. I have a better idea. They need not go back. You give them what you have. But what have you got to give? Well, I can ask you a couple questions here this morning because I know I'm not going to be here very long, okay? And I know that you have just taken your spiritual gifts inventory and had that program. So here's an honest question for you. And maybe I'm projecting into myself a little bit if I had been here when you were taking that. How many of you didn't fill it out because you have decided in your mind that you'd rather stay in a deserted place? You've done your part. Life is good. You, like me, are retired. I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And my mind's made up. I'm going to take it easy. So that's the first question. I think it fits the text, and hopefully it fits the congregation. And here's the second question for those of you who did fill it out. How many of you weren't honest? How many of you said, I'm not going to check that because I'm afraid they'll ask me? As though to say, I'm going to hide my fish in basket and my fish in loaves, and maybe I'll eat it after the crowd leaves. Well, the truth is, my friends at Richmond Beach, as long as you're living, God is always going to ask you to feed him. You do it. How many fish and loaves do you have? For you see, God doesn't look at what we don't have, but what we do have. And Jesus takes what we do have and uses it and blesses it and gives it away. Every experience in your and my life equips us for those surprises ahead. Every single moment is an equipping moment for the one that follows. All ate, and they were filled, and they took up what was left over, 12 baskets full. See, here's the deal. The thing was, there wasn't just enough. There was more than enough. And so that let that be a lesson for you and for me here this morning. Amen.